Welcome to the Been There, Done That podcast with Angela Dunn Cartledge.
Hi, everybody. I want to welcome you to the Been There, Done That podcast. Thank you so much for being here. And I am so excited to be here with my guest, David Kitchen. Can I call you Coach Kitch? I saw that.
Absolutely.
I was so excited. I love nicknames. So I'm totally in for that. I just want to introduce you briefly that you are a former coach, but a leadership coach now with the Edge Leadership Academy. And I cannot wait to talk more about this and how you got to where you are. So thank you so much for being here.
And thank you so much for having me. I love doing these, especially with people that are creating a platform and a space to have great conversations and share some insights. So I'm excited to do this.
Awesome. Awesome. Me too. I can't wait. I truly love the correlation between sports and life. To me, that is, I've always loved that. I'm not an athlete myself, but my siblings were, so I sort of lived vicariously through them. And I always loved the concept of the team environment and the team dynamic, that family that becomes part of your life as a result of it. So I'm super excited to dig into this. Can't wait to hear all your thoughts about sports, but about how they relate to life. So I'm going to start by asking a question, and I want to give you time to open up about yourself and about what you love, about what you do too. But what do you feel like is the thing that holds leaders back the most?
Wow, that's such a multifaceted question. But right off the cuff, I think the first thing that holds leaders back is a lack of clarity on who they are. I think that is so important. And when you look at really successful leaders in any space, business, athletics, politics, doesn't matter, they have a very clear understanding of who they are and who they're not. And they don't deviate from that. And so when you look at what holds leaders back, it's a lack of character, right? It's a lack of having a vision, a mission, and a set of values that show up authentically in every single thing that you touch. And when you don't have that, it holds back all your other leadership characteristics. So it's kind of like how they say, when somebody says a sentence about someone, ignore everything before the but, right? So if you say all these nice things, but, right? It's the same thing with character. If they don't have character, they can be creative, they can be consistent, they can be all these beautiful, you know, words that we want to use to describe a leader. But if they don't have the character, eventually that's going to show up and it's going to alienate their teams and it's probably going to crash and burn.
I love that. And what I loved the most about looking over all the things on your website, which I just wanted to like dive in and swim in it, was the concept of leaders not being born, but they're made. Can you cultivate character? Or is that something that someone just comes in, I got character, I'm good? How does that work from a cultivation perspective?
Yeah, it's definitely something that can be cultivated. And the reason that our company mantra is leaders are built, not born, is because I'm a walking example of that. So, you know, to give you a little bit of background and kind of frame up why I'm saying that, I was born to a single mother. I never met my biological father. My stepfather struggled with an opioid addiction that spiraled out of control. I saw a lot of things at a young age. I was kicked out of school in third grade. The principal told my mom, your son will never see anything but the inside of a jail cell. And so for me to then go on to become a leader and go on to become a business owner and a master's degree and PhD student now, and to be an author and a keynote speaker and an award winner and all these things. Like if I can do that, it's something that's built over time, because the reality is there was a lot of points in my life that required me to build the character that allowed me to get to this point. Right. And there was a lot of things that required me to reflect and sit down and say,
when that third grade principal said, you won't ever be anything. I mean, that's a pivot. That's a huge moment.
And there's so many of them throughout your life. And here's where the cultivation piece comes. And this is the difference between people who cultivate character and people who don't, is those moments happen and they're not all negative. Some are positive, some are neutral, right? But if we don't take the feedback that the world is giving us, and if we don't sit in it in that discomfort of what that situation created and pull the lessons out, then the lessons are lost because we put them in a box and we say, I don't want to talk about it, right? Like I can easily put my childhood in a box, put my past discretions and the things that I've done wrong in a box and say, well, I don't talk about that. That's not who I am anymore. But if I did that, then I'd never pull the lessons from it. I would never learn that I had to become more empathetic. I would never learn that I had to become more self-responsible and responsible for my own actions. I would never have learned that I had to be the author of my own story. There's all these things that I wouldn't have learned because I would have stayed in that victim mentality and I would have continued to blame the world. And I never would have cultivated that character. So when you ask, can you cultivate it? Absolutely. The point is, and the way to do it is to do what I call living life in HD, right? You have to start to see the details of your life and you start to have to
Aware,
start to think, yes, self-awareness and spatial
yes,
awareness and environmental awareness. That's how you
absolutely.
cultivate that character.
Excellent. I feel like it's that victim mentality that takes me to the grief message. To me, that is so powerful. They're so connected to each other because, as I like to say, grief is more than just losing another human. Grief is more than the loss. I am not diminishing the loss of a human in someone's life. That is a big loss, not just from a physical perspective, but from a soul perspective. But what I'm saying is that we can have grief without losing a person. We can have grief when someone says something like that to us, that we will never be anything. I had a professor in college that told me I will never be able, he was surprised I graduated from college, from high school, because I wasn't able to write. He couldn't believe that I was submitting papers and got this far. It's those kinds of things that you want to grow above. You want to grow through, but you want to grow above that. But you also want, you don't know how. You're, as a regular old person just doing life, you don't have those kinds of tools. And so I loved what I saw on your website about the player that came to you and said, everybody keeps saying, I need to be a leader. I need to be a leader. But nobody ever said what to do to be a leader. Nobody's teaching me how to do that. And it's mostly because they don't know either. They just know what a leader looks like. They know what it's supposed to be, but they don't know how to cultivate it. They don't know how to create that and harvest that. And so that is where I see the true beauty in what you're doing. Firstly, because you grew out of it, you grew above it, but then also because you are able to say, okay, here are the practical steps. Here are the things you can do to move past the thing that you think is going to hold you back. And it's not because the world thinks it should hold you back, it's because you do. That is where the key is to me. So that was going to be my next question was, what do you think has held you back the most? What has held Coach Kitch back more than anything else?
And that's a it's a deep question, and it's something that I think would change over the years. I think one thing that held me back for a long time, it kind of went in stages, right? So early in my life, what held me back was my idea that I had to be perfect and my idea that that people loved me because of what I achieved, right? So if I didn't achieve things, I didn't feel loved, right? If I didn't do things the right way, then that's why people liked me. And so that was what held me back for a long time, for a long,
Wow.
long time.
I am going to get emotional here because I cannot tell you how much that resonates with me. I mean, that is a huge part of my story. So I'm sorry I keep putting my hands up, but that was powerful. That one kicked me in the gut. Keep going,
It
sir. You keep.
was no, I think I finally reached a point, and I call that chapter in my life, and I joke about it, And I say it's the time that I killed Mr. Perfect. I think that was one of the most pivotal things that I ever did in my own life, was to kill off the idea of what perfection looked like and instead focus on being a little bit better every single day. Just be a better version of me, right? Just be a little bit better. That's it. Be a little bit less wrong than I was the day before. And when I did that, and when I started to have some of those realizations of my worth is not tied up in my achievements, those are things that I do, that is not who I am. And that's when I started to really elevate. And then the next thing that held me back was this idea of fearing not reaching my potential, right? Which I still fear. I still fear that. I still fear that I might leave this world with more in the gas tank. But I know that if I have a vision, a mission, and a set of values that I set forth every single day and I chase them relentlessly, it becomes statistically unlikely that I will leave this world without making the impact that I want. And so those were the biggest things that I think held me back, right? I think I had to learn to define success for myself, was the biggest thing. And then learn to simplify that and live in alignment with that. It doesn't have to be complicated. My mission is so simple. Like, my mission in life is to bring out the best version in every single person that I meet. Whether it's the 7-Eleven clerk, whether it's somebody that I'm having a podcast with, whatever. I just want you to walk away from that interaction and be like, you know what? That guy made me feel kind of good about myself. Like, he made me think. He brought something out in me. And if I do that every single day and I'm honest with people and I genuinely care and I remain driven and curious and committed to growth, then at the end of the day, when it's all said and done and I get to watch my funeral from above, you know, it'll be packed, there'll be standing room only. And the first person will walk up to the microphone and they'll say, you know, Kitch left a legacy for his family to be proud of. He inspired greatness in everybody he came across. He was honest, he was caring, he was driven, and he was committed to growth. And if that's what's said about me, then I did it right.
That to me is the definition of what I see as a coach. When I think of a coach of a team, of a sporting team, that's what I think of, is it's somebody that cares a whole lot about what happens to those kids, grown or small, and then what they leave behind in that kid. You know, what is it that they're going to leave and take forward? And that you just embodied all of that in that answer to that question.
There's this famous quote. Ironically, the coach that said it actually went to my alma mater. But he's a famous coach. His name's Amos Alonzo Stagg, and they asked him, after he won a championship, they said, "Is this the most successful team you've ever had?" And he said, "I don't know. Ask me again in 25 years."
I love it because
Because
it gave me chills because
it's
it's not
not about
about
the wins
this,
and losses.
right? It's not about this second. It's about what does it do after this? You know,
Yep.
it's about
Who do
what,
they
how,
become? What do we
who
leave
do,
behind?
exactly, what do they do with that? What do they take from that? Because that takes me back to your moment, your starting moment. To me, what I feel like every person has is that climax moment, like you see in a book, where all of a sudden they have a pivot and they have a choice, right? They have a choice. They can either take what they heard or what they saw and identify with it, or they can say, no, thank you, I'm going this way. And that is where I see your beauty, is that you took that moment and you said, nuh-uh, that's not okay. Thank you for that feedback. Thank you for telling us that, but that's not who I'm going to be. And that is, whether that was in third grade or not, I'm not saying that that happened that same second that that principal said that to you, but I'm saying that because you can look back at that and say, that's my moment, that I see it too. And I feel like we all have a decision, even after losing a beloved human that was so important to us. We have a decision to make when that
Yep,
happens.
there's
And that just, takes that.
I want to share something with you. I've never shared this on a podcast before, but I think it's so relevant to this conversation. So, growing up, I had my mom, but my mom needed me to be an adult. My mom needed me to be the man of the house, and so the only place that I was able to be a child was at my grandmother's house, and I often said she saved me. I often said that because she allowed me to be a child and I was safe there and et cetera. This past spring we lost my grandmother. And
So
when you
sorry.
talk about it's you know what? It's the way it was meant to be. And to your point, you know, that we have this choice, right? So when we lost my grandmother, it changed me deeply, deeply, deeply changed me. And I was broken. And I didn't know which way I was gonna go. And there came a point a few weeks later where I realized that it was my decision, right? And I could either live life regretting things and thinking back and being broken, or I could leave a legacy that even she would be proud of, right? And so that's what it was. And so what we did, and you know, it's a little thing, but literally the chain that I wear around my neck, that's her thumbprint on the front of this. And so I wear that every day, and it's a reminder to me that it's like, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing. Right, I'm doing this to build a legacy. I'm doing this to do this. And so when you say that you have those choices, you do. And sometimes those choices are so hard to make because it meant that I had to let go of the sadness that I was feeling. And when you're in it, you don't want to let go. You want to sit in that. And you it's okay to visit it. It's okay to go there. There's still days where I cry, right? But I can't stay there because I have to keep moving forward.
Yes, and that is, and that's part of the decision, right? That's part of the decision that you're making. And you, because she gave you a safe place, you gave so many other kids a safe place, and now you're giving kids and grown-ups a safe place, and then they're going to do it, and we're going to keep growing because of that opportunity. And to me, that is, it's when we can tap in to those truths, not the lies that
Correct.
were told. I don't know. I keep getting mad at that principal. I keep getting, I want to go back in time and say, how is that helpful? But that is a totally different podcast. But I guess I want to say that I see that those decisions in how you respond to things and how you are growing and how you are building your life and your business. I see those decisions, and I know everybody else does too. Anybody that ever meets you would be able to see those decisions as easily as I do. Where do you see those decision points that you know are there that and choose to go one way or the other? You wouldn't be sitting here with me right now if you didn't keep making decisions. So,
Correct.
how do you encourage people to not give up, to continue to make decisions, to continue to look for the better path, to even though you're always looking for something good, you're always looking for to be the best David that you can be the next day. How do you encourage other people to do the same thing?
I think for me, so much of it is to paint pictures, right? It's to paint narratives. And so one of them is I often ask this to people, if you take a battery and you put it in upside down in a remote, right? The battery doesn't work. And the reason is the perspective, right? The negative is not aligned to where it's supposed to be. And so the next question that I always ask is, okay, how many people in here try and avoid negative things in their life? The majority of the people raise their hand, right? And I say, okay, now how many people run around the house cutting off the negative end of the battery? Nobody. We need the negative. If it's aligned correctly, we need it because it provides energy, right? And so that's one narrative that I use. There's a bunch of other ones just about perspective and understanding. But the goal, the bottom line is always action beats inaction.
Oh,
Action beats inaction. Do something. Do
do
something.
anything.
Anything. Anything at all. And I
Take
think
a
we
shower.
under, yes. And I
Communicate.
think we underestimate the power of momentum in our life. Like the more you can start to snowball good decisions, make one good decision. That's all it takes, right? And again, using the narrative idea, when I talk about, or when I look at a boxer, right? If I look at a boxing match and this guy's in the corner and he's getting pummeled and he's curled up in a ball, in that moment, they're not taught to look for a knockout. And so many times in life, when we're getting pummeled, we want the knockout. Like we want to completely flip the script. And it's
Yeah, the
like,
neon
you don't,
sign,
yeah,
the
we don't need that. What you need to do is just create space. You need to just create a little bit of space so that you can start to work your game plan. And now you can start to revisit the vision, the mission, the values that you set forth for yourself. You can start to reach out for resources. You can start to do all of these things and continue to move forward. And I had a coach, again, I know I'm using a lot of narratives and stories, but it's the way my brain works.
I love it.
I had a coach who's,
Relatable. People will hear it and be able to take what they
they
need.
hold
Go.
on to it. And
Yeah.
I had a coach that used to always tell us that as a fighter, you have to answer the bell, right? And so what he meant by that was in between rounds, you get to sit on the stool, right? And during that time that you're sitting on that stool, you're having a conversation with yourself of whether you want to get back up and get back in there or if you want to throw in the towel. But regardless, when that bell dings, you have to have an answer and you have to decide what you're going to do. And so I think we have to set bells in our own lives. And so even for me personally, I'm not perfect. When I'm
Right.
feeling paralyzed, when I'm feeling stuck, when I'm feeling like the world is closing in on me, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm putting everything on the deck day or everything on the table daily.
Yeah.
I'm betting everything I have. And so I have those moments. But what I do is I set a timeline for myself and I say, hey, I need to make a decision. And I have until this time to make that decision. Right, wrong, or indifferent, I'm going to make a decision with the information that I have at that time. And then I'm going. And I'll fix it if I have to fix it, but I'm going forward. And I think so many times we allow that timeline to get pushed out and pushed out and pushed out. And we need to set timelines and then hold ourselves to it. So the way you do that is you surround yourself with the right tribe. You surround yourself with people that understand, like, hey, you know, you got to go. And so I have a great group of friends that I love to death. And I'm not afraid to tell them. And I don't have to explain what the decision is. I just say to them, hey, I got to make a decision by 4 p.m. today. And they'll text me at 3:58. Yo, decision time. Ding, ding, ding. You know,
Yep,
and
you
I'm
have
like,
to
all
go.
right, I gotta go. And they don't
Yep,
even know what I'm talking about.
yeah, but they don't have to
They don't
because
have to.
they know you, but they also know the point is the accountability,
The accountability. Correct.
to have that bell, you know, that deadline.
Correct.
The thing that has always held me back has been fear. And I'll tell you, through loss, I see people a lot of times in a loss situation, they will either go to the grateful side of the coin and the mostly present side of the coin, or they go to the bubble wrap side of the coin. And I went to the bubble wrap side of the coin. When we lost our son, that was the thing I went to. It harkens back to my parents getting divorced when I was not even 6 years old, and that changing the stabilization of what I thought was secure and safe. So I feel like people can get stuck in that loop too, where they're looking at things and saying, yeah, but I'm not ready. It makes me think of the moment when Maverick is in the fight in the plane when he loose and he goes in the next time and he doesn't want to engage. That's the way I feel. I feel like my foot is on the accelerator all the way to the floor, but the emergency brake is on. And I'm just, but if I let the brake down, where am I going to go? And that is where I see a huge, I'm just learning so much as you're talking, because there's so much that comes out of that too. This idea that I can't stop bad things from happening. If I could have, I would have, and that didn't happen. So that can't be the message now. It wasn't then, it's not now. You know, it doesn't work that way. So what would you say to me? What would you say to a person that is stuck at the start line, or not maybe stuck?
Right.
I am doing stuff, but I'm not as far down the journey of the track as I would like to be.
Yeah.
How would you shift that mindset from a fear perspective and give them something, the positive end of the battery to look at?
Right. I think the first thing that I would want to do is get to neutral, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of times we think about getting from negative to positive, but at some point you got to get to neutral first.
Yes. Right. Like going straight to
out. Like if you're driving a car, right? If I'm driving a car at 60 miles an hour down the highway and I slam it into reverse, it's not just going to start going backwards. It's going to continue to go forwards. And then, you know, like we have to go to neutral first. And so the first thing that I love to do is help people pull back the layers and sit back for a second and say, okay, this event happened. I can't control it. It happened. So in and of itself, the event is not positive or negative. And as much as I love my grandmother, the loss of her was not positive or negative. It was neutral.
Right.
It was just an event.
Right.
What I choose next is my responsibility. Mm-hmm. So how I handle this is my responsibility. But that being said, that's difficult, right? That's so easy to say it that way. But when you're dealing with those emotions and those feelings, that's hard. Right. And so mm-hmm. what I urge people to do is sit down and literally write this stuff out, right? So I call it a fear checklist. So what exactly am I afraid of? Define the fear. What is it? Right? Because a lot of times fear, F-E-A-R, is false expectations appearing real. Right? So we're projecting into the future of what could go wrong. And we're starting to make those things become real because our mind loves ghost stories. And so our mind loves scary stuff. Right? And so we attach to it. And so first thing we have to do is we have to write down what am I actually afraid of? Like literally worst case scenario, what could happen if I do this thing? Then you ask yourself, if I were to do this thing and the worst case scenario happened, how would I fix it? Right? Because now you're already shifting in perspective. Now you're starting to say, okay, if I do this thing and it doesn't go well, you start to realize, oh, I could fix it. Because the reality is there's very, very few things in this world that you can do that you can't fix in one way or another.
Right.
And so the fear piece, generally that failure, that idea of failure that we have in our head, it's not real. It's something arbitrary that we came up with and attached to through a series of stories and narratives that we told ourselves. So if I can say, okay, what is the worst case scenario? If it happened, how would I start to fix it? Right now I at least have a plan. And then from there, I can start to say, okay, now let me just ask, what's the smallest thing that I could do that could move me towards my goal today? Doesn't have to be a big thing. Say I wanted to start a podcast. Could I write out a couple titles of things that I might want to talk about? Right? That doesn't take long. It's not scary. Just do that, right? And then you start to stack those on top of it. We call it laying bricks, right? You start to lay bricks. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to start to lay out in 5 days, what's the cost of inaction? If I do nothing, what is this going to cost me in 5 days? What's it going to cost me in 5 months? What's it going to cost me in 5 years? If I choose to do nothing, what are the ramifications of this? Right. And usually by that point, people are like, okay, I'm good. Let's do something. Right. Because I'm seeing where this is going. Right. Because I always challenge them. So they might say, well, not starting that podcast isn't really going to do anything to me in 5 days or 5 months. Okay. But in 5 years, what if you have another child? What do you want to tell that child that they can't do anything they put their mind to? Well, if you tell them they can do anything they put their mind to and anything they want to do, and you didn't start a podcast, that now makes you a liar. Do you want to lie to your child? Right. And so you could, those are extreme examples, right?
No,
that's where I can take it.
That's just so funny that you say that, though. The reason I'm laughing is because my children have said that to me, have said, well, but mommy, if you want to be an author, then how come you just don't write a book?
Mm-hmm.
And that is a really good question, kiddo. Great question. I don't know the answer.
It's scary. But there's another little hack you can do. And I did this with a client of mine. I love her to death. She's awesome. Rock star, single mom, two kids, built a career from nothing. When her husband left her, she had no college education, no nothing. Crushed it. She's a rock star. Yeah. And she built this whole career for herself. But one of the things that I helped her do to start breaking negative habits was write down every time she made an excuse of why she didn't write her blog or why she didn't write her podcast. I made her write a letter. I said, you don't have to give it to the girls. I'm not asking you to embarrass yourself to your children, but I want you to sit down and write, dear, I'm not going to say their names, dear Susie and Jill. Today, mommy decided that her fear was more important than our future. Today, mommy decided that I wasn't going to do these things because I valued the comfort of laying in my bed alone rather than do this stuff that could set us up for the future, right? And when you put it in perspective like that, you do that, it's like, oh, I gotta go, right? And I do that to myself. I write notes in my phone to my future self all the time. If I procrastinate or if I make an excuse about something, I write down, hey, today my excuses were stronger than my resolve, and I'm sorry.
You are blowing my mind right now.
It's hard. It's radical honesty. It's radical honesty.
But it is, it's not tough love. I feel
No.
that there it's there's so much love and kindness in what you're saying that it's
100%.
like you it's like you've got your arm around me
Yes.
across the miles and are like,
Yes.
dude, you hear yourself, right? Like,
Yes, that's exactly what it's. I want you to love yourself as much as I
yeah.
know that you deserve to be loved. Like that's what this is I want you to love yourself enough to get unstuck because you deserve it. You don't have to be stuck. You don't need to. And the moment that you realize that you're choosing it is the
Right.
moment that you take your power back.
It's such a big deal, right? Because you think, but I can't, but I'm still. This takes me to a place where we talk so much societally, especially even in our different cultures within America, but we in our country, we talk so much about pick up those bootstraps, soldier, you keep on going. And there's not really a timeline around what that looks like when you have loss or when you've had a setback or whatever that is. And we talk about not sitting in it. I'm in the same, I do this exact same thing. I can't stand to feel complacent. So to me, there's this expectation that feels sort of weird and sort of jello-like. We want you to get over it. We want you to move past whatever this is that you're sad about. But we also don't want you to do it too quickly or take too long. But those deadlines are, and those guidelines are kind of squishy, and there's not really a whole lot around that, but we definitely have an opinion. If you act too happy, if you're out too quickly, you start getting rid of stuff too soon, something's wrong. That person has not dealt with what they need to deal with. That isn't, it's all made up by each other.
Correct.
Have
Correct.
any guidelines or any ways to know that? Because on top of that, each path is individual and very specific to that loss, to that person, to that thing. So I always have this hard time with that balance of what is the right moment to move, because I'm always passing it through a filter of other people. I'm always
The right moment doesn't exist. When is
right.
your right moment to move?
And I loved what you said earlier because it's not just about that, about knowing when it's your right moment. It's moving anyway, and then looking back at it and going, eh, but I could have done that a little bit better. I can fix it. And what can you fix about it that's within your locus of control? Control what you have and actually take responsibility for the part that is legitimately your responsibility. And that is where my struggle has always gone back to, as you were going over your example of what getting someone back to neutral, mostly because it was my example. I was using it and doing it in my own head, that what would I do to get back to neutral? What were the thoughts that I was trying to prevent? What were the actions I was trying to prevent? And I think there's a level too where we take responsibility for things that are not our responsibility, right? You and I had very similar childhoods in that we were asked to take on a lot of responsibility. But that kind of creates a little monster in that you tend to take responsibility for things that aren't really your responsibility. So from my perspective, I see that being a good portion of the work too, to undo the unhealthy patterns, to undo the unhealthy thought patterns, especially. Where do you see where you want to go? How do you cultivate your vision? How do you see and grow and harvest what you want to see happen around you? What do you do as your visionary process?
Yeah, I start with the end in mind. I start with the end in mind. And it's always, like I described earlier, that funeral scenario, right? Like, what do I want at the end of it all? What do I want that to look like? And then from there, I just weigh every single decision that I make against my vision, mission, and values. Every single decision, whether it's what time to get up in the morning, who to go eat dinner with, what business partners to take on, what to wear. Every single decision is weighed against my vision, my mission, and my values. And what that does is it allows me to create an environment around me that pushes me forward even when I don't want to be pushed. Because I've now surrounded myself with people, because I've used that vision, mission, value to vet who I allow into my circle. The only people in my circle are people that are going to make me better. And so I've removed the negativity. I've removed all that thing. So I may not grow 10X today, but I'm going to grow 1X because I'm around people that are going to force it out of me. Right. And so, and not from a, again, not from a tough love standpoint, but no, from a caring standpoint. Right. And so when I'm crafting that vision and when I'm crafting that idea, I don't so much chase the idea as I do remove the red flags. Right. So what I mean by that is I'm not chasing this thing, right? What I am doing is I'm slowly cutting away the things that aren't this vision.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And that's my approach to it, is what are the things that I need to remove in my life? And so one of the things that I do is every year I have what I call a 360 audit. I call it my scoreboard. So I audit every area of my life, my relationships, my nutrition, my sleep, my physical fitness, my business, my financial health from a long-term standpoint, all of that stuff. And I go in and I figure out what things are helping me succeed, what things are hurting me, and what role do I play in that, mm-hmm. right? So am I allowing this to hurt me, mm-hmm. right? Because I'm allowing this thing to continue. And right. So I do that every year. And then every quarter, I go through and I rescore those things. And I see, am I on track to cut away the things that I said were holding me back in whatever way? Because nobody's perfect. Right? No, there's right. always going to be little things that are going to come up. Mm-hmm. And so I try and use that to keep me on track. And it's one of the things, honestly, I give it away every year for free in January for an entire month. So I wrote it. I put it all together as a book. This whole system that I use, put it together as a book called The Scoreboard. And every January for the entire month of January, we give it away completely free to people. Okay, because people. I want to listen.
You heard what he said.
Completely free. Completely free. $0. I don't want anything from you. The only thing I want you to do is share it with somebody else. That's it. But I say that to say, I believe if you can't measure it, you can't manage it. And so I like to put numbers next to things so I can see, oh, dude, you really weren't doing the things that you said were important to you. And again, then I can weigh those against my vision, mission, and values. And so every single thing is weighed against that always. So when I talk about, or when you talk about a visionary process, that's kind of it. I simplify it even further, and I joke and I say, I just want to do cool things with cool people. Like that's what I want to do, you know, and the rest will figure itself out, you know, What I won't do is compromise on those vision, mission, and values. And those things are things that I communicate to my friends, my family, business partners, business associates, clients. Everybody knows what my vision, mission, and values are. You can't go 2 or 3 posts on my social feed without me seeing me talk about them, because I want to make sure that the world understands the lens that I am judging it from, and the lens that I'm making my decisions from. Because I don't need you to understand my decision. I don't need you to like my decision, but you will respect it because you will know why I made it. And so that allows me then to be very, very clear and move in a direction that I'm trying to go in. So I hope that answered your question. I know that was kind of long-winded,
Absolutely.
but
No.
I hope I closed the loop for you.
No, that's fantastic. There is no long-winded when it comes to your answers, because I'm just soaking everything in like a little sponge. You brought up when you were saying that the moving and the assessing, really. I feel like, especially somebody that's in the thick of it, it's in the thick of the quicksand that they are slogging through, trying to figure out, or maybe they're not slogging through. They're standing still and watching it inch up and inch up and inch up. I go back to what you said earlier, that any small action is still an action. It's still better than standing still, no matter how small the step is. And even if you feel like you're going backwards, you are still acting, you're still moving, because you can still assess, you can still use that awareness, you can still use that intentionality and be able to say, oh, but I went backwards that time. I'm going to change the way I did that. I'm going to grab onto this vine and help that pull me out, instead of trying to scrabble on the ground to try to get out of this quicksand, whatever that looks like. I loved your analogy with the boxer in the corner, because I feel like so many people, especially right now, feel like that's where they are. Whether they are literally in a relationship where they are being pummeled every day, or in a work situation, or in a financial situation, whatever that feels like, just one swing will do so much good. And it may not even be in the right direction, but that's
Nope.
not really the message. The message is just try.
Something.
And yeah, exactly. How do you infuse hope?
It's a trained behavior. It's a trained behavior. So I want to do an exercise. I'll do an exercise with you quickly and I'll show you. All right. So what I want you to do right now, I'm going to give you 5 seconds. I want you to look around the room and notice everything that's red. Okay. So ready and go. So every red thing that you can notice. And stop. Okay. Now close your eyes. Tell me everything that was green. Nothing, right? Nothing, blanket. Right. Now, so let's talk about why that happens. Your brain was looking for red because that's what you were focused on. So when we're at our worst, what are we focused on? The negativity, the pain, the things, the other shoe coming down, the people taking things away from us, the toxicity, all we're focused on all that stuff. And so what happens is our brain, it starts to get wired in there to where that's what we look for. And so we can't see that you couldn't see the green. So let's think about red and green as hope and despair. If red was the despair, when you closed your eyes, you saw a lot of despair. You knew where all the despair was in the room. But if green was the hope, you didn't know where any of that was because you weren't looking for it. And so when I talk to people, that's the first thing I try and do is get them to start looking for it, right? And so it's random acts of kindness, it's random acts of discipline, it's random acts of hope and opportunity, and start to train yourself to look for those.
It's the little things. It's the one,
Correct.
it's the small thing, and finding the victory. That I think is one of the my hardest mindset shifts, is the looking for the small victories, that it doesn't need to be 0 to 60. It
Doesn't
doesn't need
have
to
to.
be cowering in the corner to knockout. It can be just getting up, just
All you
getting in.
need, that's exactly all you need is a little bit of evidence that disproves the theory that you've been holding on to that the world is terrible. As soon as you have something, because it's like a court of law, right? All you have to do is prove reasonable doubt. I don't need to prove that the world is innocent. I just need to prove beyond. I just need to prove, I need a little bit of reasonable doubt that says, no, maybe there's good in the world. And then the more you do that, the more you start to look for those things. And the more you can train your mind to look for those things, they're called cognitive biases. The more you can bias your mind towards opportunity, the more you can live in that space. And so now when things happen, you actually become more resilient because it literally, so It's like a river making its way through a valley. The longer the river flows, the deeper the valley gets. The same thing happens in our mind. So the longer we stay in that despair, the quicker that that's where our mind goes, because that valley literally gets deeper and it gets entrenched. That pattern gets entrenched into our mind. And so we have to start to change the pattern. And you can, but you have to be conscious about it first. And so you have to start to look for it. So how do you do that? You make a little list. We're not above lists. I use lists all the time. When I'm going through hard
This little
things,
slip of paper.
yes, I have a playlist. I have a playlist on my phone. So I haven't said this, but I'll say it now. People know, but I suffer from depression. I'm diagnosed, have depression. I suffer from anxiety. When I wake up in the morning, sometimes I feel like the world is crashing and everything's going to go to zero. And when I do, the first thing that I do to reset myself is I have a playlist that's called Let the Good Land. Because what happens is there's good things all around us. We don't let them land because we have our walls up because we're looking for despair and we want to curl up in a ball and hold on to that. So I have a playlist that says Let the Good Land. And it just reminds me of good things, you know, and there's songs on there about taking things for granted and all these things to just kind of remind you, like, hey, there's good things in the world, right? And it resets me. And so all it takes is for you to start looking for those things, and then you'll start to find them more. That's why when people say people are lucky, that's not true. You can train yourself to be lucky.
Right.
And
You see
it's the
the
same
good.
concept. Yes, you see
Yeah,
the good.
you're looking for the good. It makes me think of the indigenous people's saying that you if you the wolf that wins is the one you feed. The
100%.
it is the
100%.
one
Love
that
that
you
story too. Yes.
yes that you are looking for. You know that
Yep.
you don't. I guess that what I want to say is I don't want to give in to those lies. I don't want to only think of the lies either that I think about myself or that the world seems to push on us all the time. But it is so critical to just do one thing. Then tomorrow, do one more thing. And then before you know it, you're doing those one things without thinking about it. You're doing, and then you want to add another one, and you want to think of something new. You want to change your perspective even more. I love that so much.
And to your point, when I was in the deepest of my depression, I wasn't getting out of bed. I was staying in bed till 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I almost lost everything. I almost lost all my businesses, all this stuff. So I'm a guy, typically gets up 4 o'clock in the morning, has a long to-do list of all these beautiful things that I want to accomplish in the world, and I do them, right? And during that time, my to-do list in my phone, literally a to-do list with a checkbox, said take a shower because that was enough to get it started, right? And then it became take a shower, walk the dog. Then it became take the shower, walk the dog, read 5 pages. And then I just kept adding things. And then what happened was I pulled myself out of that. Now I was also surrounded by great people. I went and sought help. I went and saw a therapist. Like I did other things in conjunction with that. I learned how to meditate. I mean, there was a lot of things that I added to it, but it started with that. It started with
And you
take
had
a
to do
shower.
because
Correct.
again, your decision-making process, no one can make you go to a therapist appointment.
Correct.
No one can
Correct.
make you wash off the crud from yesterday or that bad dream you had in the shower. Nobody can make you do that. So those are the things back to controlling the controllables, going back to the things that you, Coach Kitch, that you can do to make sure that you're doing everything you can do in your power to move forward. And as that list has
Absolutely.
grown, so has the magnitude of the things on it, right?
Correct.
You're
Correct.
giving, you've gained confidence, you've gained hope, you've gained strength. So then the magnitude gets bigger.
And
And
it's
I
important to recognize too that it's not a straight line. Right. So that time period that I was just talking
Roach.
about, that was 3, 4 years ago now. There's still days where when my back's against the wall, my anxiety's flared up, I'm feeling myself spinning. My to-do list may shrink down to, hey, do two things and then clean the house and then go for a walk. Like, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with because that's what I have to do, right, to keep me forward. So it's not people have this understanding or this thought process of it's a straight line. Like I just keep adding things and keep adding things and keep adding things. It's always going to get better.
And it's up,
It's
right?
not.
It's not
Yeah, it's
fine.
not. There's peaks and
Always.
valleys.
So real. I mean, I could keep doing this, but I know you have a business to run. As do I. But I am so moved by your just vulnerability, your integrity. Thank you so much for all that you have given us. So
Thank
now
you.
I want to give you the opportunity to talk about your life goal, your thing that you have put out there, your leadership academy, but everything else that you're doing. Tell us how we can better connect with you.
Yeah, absolutely. I do a little bit of everything. I genuinely my mission is to get as many people in the world into the arena of life as possible and out of the stands. I want people to stop watching their life and start being a part of it, right? And so how do we do that? The first place is Edge Leadership Academy. So Edge is a consulting firm. We offer workshops, leadership workshops, culture workshops, high performing habits workshops. We do that in the corporate space. We do it in the athletic space, nonprofits, high schools, et cetera. We work with people. We simplify leadership. We simplify culture. We simplify high performance into frameworks and repeatable systems. So that's the first place that I chase that vision of helping people. The second place is through my public speaking and through what I do from a keynote speaker standpoint. I'll come and speak. I speak at events all over the country, virtual and in person. I've been fortunate enough to share the stage with some of the biggest names in professional development and personal development. You can look it up. I mean, I'm fortunate to have, like I said, been around some really great people and done some great things. I hate tooting my own horn, so this is difficult for me. But
You're doing great.
the
Doing
third
great.
place the third place that I'm exercising my vision and my mission is through my coaching. I do one-on-one coaching with people that is separate from Edge, and it's something that is my personal way of giving back and helping people. So I do three types of coaching. I do mindset coaching, which is for people like conversations like we had today, getting unstuck, getting back into the arena of life, or maybe taking your first swing at something. Those types of whether you want to be a better father, husband, mother, brother, sister, entrepreneur, nurse, bike rider, I don't care what it is. I'm here to help you build the systems and build the mindset that it takes to do that. I also do leadership coaching for executives and for people that are taking on leadership roles in every industry across the world. And then the third type of coaching that I do is I do brand coaching. So if you're somebody that is established and you're trying to become a thought leader, you want to leverage social media, you want to get on more stages, more podcasts, things like that, I help with that as well. Because ultimately, success leaves clues, and there was a lot of people that helped me along the way. So this is my way of kind of leaving the breadcrumbs for other people and helping you skip all the mistakes that I make. Because I say all the time, the first 3 years in business, I was building the plane and flying it at the same time. So, I'm here to help
Feel
you
that.
guys skip those steps.
I feel that very, 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 very strongly. So I can't wait for you to continue to change the world and to
Thank
continue
you.
to pay it forward. That's what
Thank
I
you.
feel the most is that you so strongly want to be able to pay forward what the good that you were given. And
I do.
I love that. I can't wait to see how you fly even higher than you already are. But I'm so excited to have had this time with you. Thank you so much. God bless. Let's keep the goodness rolling and keep the action moving.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed this chat. Best of luck to you, and I can't wait to see what you build.